1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Very familiar story. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. When the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Call me. Don't be afraid, you can call me. Maybe it's late, but just call me. Or at least that's how the old song goes, right? And while most persons are fine with the sentiment of being called by someone who loves them, who cares about them, a majority would just as soon not get a call from God. I still remember a few years ago on a Wednesday night that William Dixon thought he had turned off his cell phone. If you were there that Wednesday night, you might remember what happened. The cell phone went off in the middle of the service Wednesday night. He said, "Oh, God." I said, "If that's true, tell God I want to speak with him." And he pulled it out and he thought he shut it off, and it rang a minute or so later. And he tried to pull it out and he hit the button so you could hear it, and he hit it on speaker. And it was a female voice. And I said, "See, I told you God is beyond gender." And we don't get those kinds of calls from God, but sometimes God calls in other ways. And most folks would just as soon not get a call from God, except for that initial call to make a profession of faith and then be dunked, poured, or sprinkled and go sit in a pew somewhere. And in fact, I know from talking with folks and being in some meetings over the last many, many years, decades, that there are people in vocational ministry who sometimes wish God had been silent concerning their call as well. Borrowing from another song some would sing, and I'm not going to at this point in the morning, silence is golden. But it can be a little scary if one thinks that God might call in that silence. And so we fill our lives with things and with noise. And I know there are many folks that cannot go to sleep at night without a fan or even the TV's background noise, because we don't like that silence and we've gotten used to all the stuff around us. Yet, I have some news for us. We all are called by God. We're called into relationship with God, and we're called to live our lives in such a way that others will see God, and not just at church. But others will see God at work, at school, on the playground, wherever we might go, even standing in the line, this is one of my problems, even standing in the line at the Wally World, because you know that when that greeter says, "Welcome to Walmart," what it really means is, we're not going to have enough checkouts when you get ready to leave. And you don't have the patience. Many is the time that I will say, if I didn't need this stuff, I'd just leave the buggy sitting right here. Even at that time, God has called us to live in such a way that people will see God. It's a call, though, to know God and to be known by God, both. Now, we oftentimes, in fact, I would think that most folks, when we start reading about the great heroes of the Bible, we often think that these great servants of God are so attuned to God that they readily and happily accept God's call, right? And yet, if you really think about it, Moses balked and made excuses as to why he couldn't go back to Egypt. Abraham complained. Saul got to believe his PR too much and did things totally against direct orders by God. David thought he was above the normal mores of life because of his call to be king. We could go on and we would find many prophets. Amos didn't want to. When he was confronted by the head of the prophets' union, he said, "Listen, my dad wasn't a priest or a prophet, my granddad wasn't, and I'm just a migrant worker. But when God calls, I must speak." Now, think a moment about the call of Samuel. Samuel is a young boy at this point in time. He's been taken by his mother and given to Eli, the priest at Shiloh, to raise to serve God. And Samuel is one whose tasks include not only learning from Eli and serving Eli at the shrine to God in Shiloh, but Samuel is expected to close the doors and lock the doors from the inside. Some of y'all may be PKs or DKs. It's preachers' kids and deacons' kids. And sometimes you thought you were there every time the doors were open. But when they were locked up, at least you got to go home. Samuel, on the other hand, locked them from the inside and went and would lie down next to the altar. He slept inside the shrine. That was the expectation. And so he was there to learn and to serve. And yet in all of that, the text tells us he did not yet know God when this call came. Eli, the old priest, had forgotten much about the expectations from God of his call, though. And in fact, we read that under Eli, the word of the Lord was rare and there was no frequent vision. The visions spoken here are divine encounters with God. And we're told that Eli's sight is growing dim as well, which is an indication that Eli's physical blindness that is approaching is simply a reflection of the spiritual blindness, because he had forgotten the depth of that call. So here we have the story. Story that you get told in Bible school and Sunday school, and everybody thinks, "Boy, isn't that great? Glad it's Samuel and not me." So here's Samuel lying in the temple near the Ark of the Covenant. And just before the lamp of God that was lit in the area around the altar, just before it sputters out for the night, a voice calls out, "Samuel, Samuel." Now, he's lying there in the near dark, but he knows that Eli's in the next room over. Okay? And so He thinks that's Eli because the text says he does not yet know the Lord. Wait a minute. He was raised in a shrine by the priest. How could he not know God? Yeah. I know. I'm sure that his mother Hannah, as he was being raised, and Eli had told him much about God. But as you may be thinking about that now, knowing about God is not the same as knowing God. The Hebrew word used here is yada, which indicates intimate knowledge. It's the same word used in Psalm 1 about the righteous and that God knows, yada, knows intimately the righteous. By the way, it's the same word that is used in Genesis when it says that Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived and bore a son. To intimately know. That's the word used here. And it only comes through a relationship. You know, you can say, I'm amazed all the time. People say, yeah, I got 490 friends on Facebook. No, you don't. You don't really know those people that intimately. It comes from relationship. And while Samuel had known much about God, God's call here begins with a call to a relationship of growth and knowledge and understanding. Tony Cartledge, one of the former editors of the Biblical Recorder in North Carolina, in a commentary on Samuel writes, and I quote, "Parents and teachers of children should avoid communicating the notion that knowing Bible stories and reciting memorized scripture are equivalent to knowing God. It is much easier to teach abstract knowledge. To teach someone else about relationships, though, is more difficult and requires risks. We must tap into our soul, become transparent, and invite others to view our relationship with God before they can have a relationship." End of quote. And you know, that can be a scary thought, as well as a daunting task, to open ourselves in such a way. Because we might also be open to God in a way that God may ask us to do something that we really may not feel comfortable doing, and it makes us vulnerable. We also see here that God's call is both personal, that is individual, and corporate. Samuel is called, just as Eli was called, individually, but not to be just alone by himself in that relationship, but to be part of the larger community and serve the larger community. You know, God does call persons in very personal ways. But he also calls us for a purpose. So Samuel here gets this call. Samuel, Samuel. And thinking he hears Eli, he jumps up and runs in. But you know, God sometimes calls us in other ways too. In the voice of a friend or a family member. We might hear or feel the call of God in our heart or in our mind, maybe in the park or at work or as we sit and read the Bible and reflect on it. We may hear that call of God in or through a song. There are a lot of missionaries who will tell you that they got their call when they heard, "We've a story to tell to the nations." Or maybe we might hear the call in the still of the night. In the still of the night, when it's dark and we're lying there by ourselves. But be assured that when God places calls on and in our lives, it is not just to be ignored. It is something that is to be taken seriously. And God never calls us without giving us gifts or abilities to use for that call. I am not a mechanic. See? Vote of confidence in me not being a mechanic. So you see? You don't want me working on your car. But perhaps there are other things and abilities that I have that the mechanic doesn't have. I've told you some of you the story before about my father. He was not a plumber, but he decided one day when the faucet was dripping in the kitchen that he was going to change out the little... Thank you. I was going to say O-rings, but the little washers. My mother said, well, you got to turn the water off at the street. No, I can get it changed. By the time he finally got the water turned off at the street, there was 2 inches or more of water in the kitchen floor and water dripping from the ceiling. And at that point, my mother swore he would never touch another faucet except to turn it on and off again. God doesn't call us, though, without giving us the gifts or the abilities, whatever those are, and through which things can be accomplished for His kingdom and a kingdom on earth. It's not just about getting there, out there. It's about the kingdom of God on earth. And the corporate call of God to His people includes the expectation that individuals will come together and we will use our gifts together for the good of the whole. I am not about to try and run any electricity, any outlets in here. But I know that Robert Elrod and others have done so, and we have lights in places because of that. So we all use those gifts. And Paul in the New Testament understood and wrote of this in 1 Corinthians 12 when he talks about the different parts of the body and all of them working together. And so the call that we get is not a call just for us to go out and be lone rangers or to, hey, I got that call, I'm going to sit on it here for a while. But it's to come together corporately and use those abilities and those gifts together for the good of the whole. And so Samuel runs in at this call and he mishears the call the first few times, does he not? Sometimes we also miss those calls when we're not careful enough. And so he goes and he disturbs Eli, and Eli says, go back to sleep, boy, stop bothering me. I figure it's about the time Eli started snoring again that God calls again, and Samuel runs in and wakes him up again. And he's more cranky the second time. And about the time Eli falls asleep and he's about to enter a deep sleep, God calls a third time, and Samuel goes in and wakes him up. And just as Eli is about to give him what for, suddenly this man who does not have that inner vision anymore, the third time, and in Hebrew understanding the number 3 is like waving a flag and saying, hey, hold on, time out, God's doing something here. The third time this man who has no insight suddenly has a final insight. And Eli says to Samuel, the next time you're called, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the word he uses for Lord is the word for God. Now, if you think you might be scared of the silence or a possible call from God, think about Samuel now. Eli's just told him, the voice you've been hearing is coming from God, and he's going to call you again. And so Samuel goes in. About this time, the lamp has gone out, and he's lying there in the dark, waiting. Waiting. And when God calls again, Samuel acknowledges God and says, I'm listening. And God speaks. But notice, God doesn't give Samuel this glowing word to begin with. We might expect or hope that, as Cartledge notes, God would give some word of introduction or specific commission for Samuel, or say, you're really great and wonderful, and I'm going to do great and wonderful things through you. Instead, when the Lord spoke, He spoke against Eli. And Samuel responded to the divine message, a message which really was more of a nightmare. Because God says, Eli has not been doing what he was supposed to do, and because he's lost that call, I'm going to destroy his family and Eli, and guess what? You get to take over. And Samuel doesn't sleep the rest of the night. And the next morning, he's reluctant to even be around Eli. But Eli pushes for what God said, and so Samuel eventually tells him. And while this was the first time God spoke to Samuel in calling him, it was not the last. In fact, if we continue reading in the text, we find that in contrast to Eli, there is no frequent vision, and the Word of God was rare. Samuel's better than E.F. Hutton. When he speaks, everybody listens, because the text will say, "And God did not let any of his words fall to the ground. And everyone knew God was with Samuel, and there were frequent visions." Frequent encounters with God. And Samuel became a trustworthy prophet. Even though there would be times that he didn't exactly agree with God's decisions either. Yet he continued to be available for God's use. You know, when God calls, we probably oftentimes hope the message will be good and beneficial. That's what we want to hear, right? But while that may not always be the case, God still expects us, if we are His children, to be open to the possibilities of God's call and open to the possibilities found within God's call. Possibilities for us and possibilities for others. And as difficult as it may be sometimes, Samuel serves as a young example, yes, but serves as an example of how to react and what to do when God calls. Pause for a moment and say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Scary? Absolutely. Frustrating? You better believe sometimes it is. And yet, when the Lord of everything calls, that call includes a promise to be with us until the end of the age, to guide us if we truly listen and respond, no matter what the call and no matter where. And it doesn't mean that you're going to go overseas. Although several years ago, I met some missionaries at a Cooperative Baptist Fellowship meeting, and they just were glowing about their mission and just how wonderful it was to serve God in Trinidad and Tobago. And I thought, what an assignment. And yet, our call may not send us there, but our call still comes to keep us here, doing what God would have us to do for the good, not just of ourselves, but for the good of the whole and the kingdom of God on earth. So I guess the question is, am I listening? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when you call, help us to be open. When you call, help us not to turn a deaf ear, no matter how scared we might be. Reassure us that in every call you will provide the gifts, the abilities, and the guidance that we need. Not just so that we will be okay, but so that our world will indeed become more like the heavens. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is 589, "Here I Am, Lord." As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open, but I pray that even more so the altars of our hearts, no matter how scared we might be, will also be open. As we stand and as we sing together, 589. Here I am, Lord.